Today we're going to talk about clothing, because the theme, and we're going to actually follow a theme that follows actually strikingly throughout the parasha. We're going to notice that clothing plays a major role in basically every major story in the parasha, and then hopefully we'll come to some kind of discussion about what we're supposed to derive from this theme that we found, and how we're supposed to relate to it. So we're going to start at the very beginning of the parasha, Perek Lamed Zayin, and the most famous piece of clothing, probably in the entire Tanakh, okay? And go from there. What is it? You know, and we're going to see that clothing does very interesting things to us. I'll just, you know, start as an aside. I have this jacket. I wear this jacket that I got. If you hold up, if you give me this jacket. Black jacket over here. This jacket. Show and tell. This jacket I got from my America days, from when I used to go to seminars at the Soloveitchik Institute. So, and they gave out these jackets. That's when, they used to give out jackets and rabbinic things. They used to give out clothing. Just so happens that
a Shaver one.
A very nice one, yeah. Okay. Just so happens that the owner of Timberland was a big supporter of the Soloveitchik Institute. So every time we would come for a Yarche Kala, and there were two of them a year, they had another piece of clothing.
Very nice.
A ton of them. Like the best one was when we got the winter down parka. That was unbelievable. That was ridiculous.
Well, when you were in Detroit.
It was terrific for Detroit, but the guy from Los Angeles gave his away to a guy from Boston. Sorry about that. So I was in Gadara last night at the doctor's office, and a guy sitting in the waiting room across from me notices this thing and just strikes up a conversation about it. Like, what is that? Where is it from? Where are you from? Because, you know what I'm saying? And it struck me how much sometimes the things that we wear, they identify us. The clothing that we wear, I would even dare say the brands that we wear, you know what I'm saying? The way you, I'm not as sensitive to this as you are, the way you tie your mitpachat has some kind of meaning, I think.
It's in places. Laura's done a study on it.
Yeah?
Maybe. Unpublished.
It's unpublished?
I'm keeping it under wraps.
Okay, so this... But this is un...
Okay. Under wraps, that's right.
There's your title.
Under wraps, I like that. This is undoubtedly true, though, that the clothing that we wear, we whether consciously or unconsciously, wear that clothing to identify in a certain way. You know what I'm saying? We dress a certain way to identify a certain way. We dress a certain stature, a certain level. It's not just the clothing, it's, is the clothing ratty or not ratty? Is it falling apart? Is it not? What are we covering? How much are we covering? How much are we not? You know, there's a level, as we'll discuss. So let's, and the type of clothing as well. And we're going to see actually there's an aspect of the clothing that's even more interesting. Okay. But Yeshav Yaakov Eretz Migurei Aviv Ve'Eretz Kanan. Yaakov dwelled in Eretz Kanan. Eretz, the land of his father's dwellings. Ele toldot Yaakov, Yosef ben Shvaasei Shana, Yahweh Eret Echav Batzon, Vuhunar et Bnei Bilha, Ve'et Bnei Zilpa Neshe Aviv. This is the story of Yaakov. Yosef is 17 years old. He shepherded with his brothers in the sheep, in the cattle, in the sheep. And he is a Na'ar et Bnei Bilha, Ve'et Bnei Zilha, of Bnei Bilha, Bnei Zilpa, the wives of his father. Vayaveh Yosef et Yibetam Ra'al Avihem. Yosef brought his Diba. He brought his tales. He started telling about his brothers to his father. And obviously, we have in the past talked about these psukim. We're not going to stop on them today. We're going to do this pasuk. Yisrael ahav et Yosef mikol banav ki ben zikunim lo. Yisrael, Yaakov, loved Yosef because he was his ben zikunim. He was his youngest. He was his beloved. Could also be that he was a son of Rachel. Okay? Va'asalo kitonet pasim. And he made for him a ketonet pasim. She likes that stroller. What can you do? Okay. What's a ketonet and what a pasim? So we all know, obviously, that he made him a multicolored dream coat. Yes. Okay, all of... I never saw that, but okay. My life... What?
Donny Osmond was great.
Donny Osmond was great, okay. Ketonet. What's a ketonet? Where do we see the word ketonet? Correct. What is it?
A tunic.
A tunic. Okay. Pasim. Pas. So let's look at Rashi for a second. Rashi says pasim. It's vague. It's not clear what a tunic pasim is. Rashi says lashon klei melet. You have in English? It's like a
confined wool,
meaning a fine ketonet pasim. Pas is it's strips of, generally, of a finer material. Because the material is a ketonet pasim. You can sit here. Now two people are sitting there. Okay. Right? You get a fine, it's like a finer wool. So he made him we think that there's strips. The word pasim doesn't necessarily mean strips. It doesn't necessarily mean that it was made of, I don't know how you would say it, of like, you know, stripes, like a ugly bathrobe. You know what I'm saying? That's what everybody thinks because that's pop culture, but that's not true. You know what I'm saying? It's not accurate. Okay, let's look at for 1 second. The midrash says, I didn't say the midrash. I think I saw in some of our shim made of a ketonet pasim. You can find it. Okay. Okay, 1 second. I don't remember where I saw it. I'll find it somewhere else. Okay, that the idea of the pasim. Okay, here we are. This is an additional parashat of Rashi. Pasim saviv pas yado, almost like he put stripes around the sleeve, almost like a. Like a cuff, but it's like a military. You ever see like those guys in the Navy? They have the stripes on the end, the ketonet pasim. This is very interesting that there wasn't like long stripes. It wasn't like, you know, this whole long stripe thing. It was a ketonet that was mechubad. And the Kli Yakar says that he gave him this ketonet in order to make him like, he wanted to make him the Kohen. This child is going to be like the Ben Kuhuna. He's going to be exalted. Okay? And obviously, the Midrash says, that was a mistake. It wasn't a good idea to do that. Why is it not a good idea to make one piece of clothing for one child and not for the rest of them? Because it causes jealousy, right? And the brothers, of course, hated him for it. And if I were one of the brothers, I would also have hated him for it, okay? 1 second.
But he was already a telfel, so they probably already hated
him. Says the Midrash, Tzarich Adam, this is an important lesson, I said it before, Shelo l'shanot ben mibanav. You cannot treat children differently. Because of the ketonet pasim that he made for him, they hated him. Okay? But he made him this ketonet pasim, and of course, you know, we'll see something very interesting about the ketonet pasim as well. The Kli Yakar says, if I could see it, 1 second. Okay. Let's see where the ketonet pasim comes up next. So Yosef has his dreams, and he tells his dreams to his brothers. They hated him, etc., etc. Oh, one more midrash. I want to say 1 second. One more midrash about the ketonet pasim. Says this. I don't know what to do with this midrash, but I thought I'd share it with you. Haketonet shasa kadosh baruch hu la'adam ule'ezro. The ketonet that God made, remember, for Adam. He haketonet. Where do we see this ketonet before? You remember? We talked about this ketonet.
Esav,
right? Shalacha Esav mi Nimrod. Okay? And remember, who wore that ketonet? Yaakov stole the ketonet and got the bracha. He kept it and gave it to Yosef.
Isn't it also a midrash that because that Zabud and Melach had the same ketonet that ripped his coat?
He ripped Shaul's coat.
It
was that one?
I think I remember hearing something that also. Like, you know, it would be hard to be the same one because they ripped it to dip it in blood or ripped it up.
Oh, they cleaned it. You know, they had a good dry cleaner. I just want to, like, what do you do with a midrash like that? Like, really? The same piece of clothing? There's this idea of continuity. There's this idea of there's something going on that this clothing represents. God made these clothing, so it represents a certain level of divinity, divine inspiration. There's something special about these clothes, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yaakov gave it to Yosef. You're going to carry on whatever this is. You're going to carry on the scent of Gan Eden. However you're going to imply that. I saw that midrash. I don't know exactly what to do with it, but it's a wacky midrash. Let's turn now. Where does the ketonet pasim, of course, come up next? When do we see the ketonet next?
When he's torn at the bottom.
When they take it away from him. When they rip it up. Okay. Let's turn to pasuk chaf gimel. Where are they, by the way? Where are the brothers? He Yosef went to Dotan. Good, they went to Dotan. They went to find them. Where'd they go? That Yaakov sent Yosef to go find them, to go check on them. Where? They went to, it's important to notice, it's really important, Chav Gimel, Lamed Zayin Chav Gimel. They went to Shechem. Right? Nothing good ever happens in Shechem. It's just important to notice. Really, I'm not kidding. Well, you know what else happened historically in Shechem? Dina happened in Shechem. Something else happened in Shechem. Much later. The split of the Malucha happened in Shechem. Right? Shechem is not a good place. It's just, it's like the these, what?
Still now
today, not a good place. Right? The split of Malucha, the children of Shlomo, Rechavam and Yerubam. What? Yosef is buried in Shechem. Yosef is intentionally buried in Shechem. Okay. Vayihi. So there, if you got a ketonet pasim from your father that he inherited from Gan Eden, what would you do with it?
Treasure it.
Right. You would.
You'd wear it maybe on special occasions.
Correct. You'd have this like.
And flaunt it every day.
100%. You would have this ketonet pasim that you save for like, you know, when you and dad are going on your walks together at the lake, you know what I'm saying, and talking about special things. That's when you'd wear your ketonet pasim. But of course, Yosef, when he goes to check up on his brothers, as they're shepherding in Shechem, so he's going from south all the way up to Shechem, he's wearing the ketonet pasim. Which means either he had a couple, you know what I'm saying? He had a few of them, or he wore it all the time. And we're going to see not only did he wear it all the time, there's something even more significant about that. Okay, so, Vayihi kasher ba Yosef el Echav, when Yosef came to his brothers, Vayafshitu et Yosef et kutanto, et ketonet hapasim asher alav. Everyone, you're following the psukim. Lamed zayin chav gimel. I'll read it again because we're going to again. Now look at something wacky about the pasuk. Vayihi, and it was kasher ba Yosef el Echav. When he came to his brothers, Vayafshitu et Yosef et kutanto, et ketonet hapasim asher alav. What's the obvious problem with the pasuk? Right, double lashon. It doesn't make any sense. What should the pasuk say? What? Vayafshitu et ketonet hapasim asher alav, or ketonto asher alav. Okay? This is very interesting. One second. Okay? And now look at Rashi on Chaf Gimel, the first Rashi. Okay? Et kutanto. Whoa, one second. Hold on. Says Rashi. Zechaluk. What does that mean, Zechaluk? What's a chaluk? A robe. And then, Eketonet hapasim, hu shehosif lo, the second Rashi, hu shehosif lo aviv, yoter al echav. Okay? So what, according to Rashi, what did they do? There was what?
There was two garments.
He had a chaluk, he had a robe, and then he had a ketonet. Now, how do you wear a ketonet? Just when we know about the Kohanim, how do you? What are the arba big day Kohanim? Ketonet pasim, ketonet asher alav. There's a ketonet. There's a belt. There's a hat and
bracelet.
No. That's Kohen Gadol. Oh. He had the ketonet, the belt. You're missing the most important. He had the pants. Okay?
We're women.
It's men too. Okay? What is the ketonet not?
A robe.
It's not an undergarment. You don't wear it on your body. You wear the ketonet over the pants, as it were. Okay? Because, especially if you got a ketonet pasim, why do we wear, why do you wear an undershirt over the undershirt, as it were? Great, because it's sweat and all that, especially, you know, like we. So it says vayafshitu et kutanto et ketonet pasim asher alav. Rashi says they took off his chaluk and then the ketonet pasim.
So he was wearing an under.
This one described it as an undergarment.
Correct. That is a problem though, because then it should be first. It shouldn't be the other way around. So there's a whole machloket about what does Rashi mean. So if you look at this, Siftei Chachamim has two interpretations. You guys have a Siftei Chachamim? Siftei Chachamim says, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi, Shakol Echad Hu, Shelo Ayalav El Ketonet Echad Shel Pasim. So he seems to say, Rashi says, it's all one thing, the Chaluk and the Ketonet, okay? Chen Amar Katuv Eku Tanto, Ve'eze Zeh, Zeh Ketonet Pasim Shalav. Okay? De'ein Lomar Shayalo Shtei Ketonet, Zeh Al Zeh. It doesn't seem like he had two Ketonet. Okay? The Ein Nikra Ketonet Elazesh She'al Gabe Bisaro. So the Mizrahi says a ketonet is what he's wearing on his body. Avalo Nireli, but the Sifte Chachamim says, I disagree with Mizrahi. Ela Shahayalo Shte Ketonet Ze Al Gav Ze. The Sifte Chachamim said, no, he had two clothing, one on the other. Echal Al Gabe Bisaro Mishum Hazea. One, he had an undershirt. Shelo Yikalkel Ketonet. Vehem Hefshitu Shnayim Ke'echad. And they ripped off both at one time. They ripped them both off at one time. There's also, I didn't point this out, a word here really struck me when I read this pasuk, and that's the word vayafshitu. What does the word lahafshit mean? It means to strip. Where else do we see the word? Where else do we have the word of lahafshit? Hafshata. It's not a context of clothing. Okay? You know what lahafshit means? The word lahafshit? It means to skin an animal. You know what I'm saying? It's a violent act. They ripped it off of him.
Isn't in a sense. By the woman who
is being, who is her husband thinks that she's been cheating. Sota? Right, Sota. To be mafshit et bigadeha? They tear her clothing. I don't know. Look it up. Maybe. I'm not gonna say no. We have books. We can find. Okay. I'm not denying. I mean, it could be. Okay. But it's a violent word. Lafshit. Hafshata is a, you know what I'm saying? It's almost to take him out of his skin. They're so angry at him, in a sense. Kliyaka says something actually more fascinating. So one, it's interesting. One Pirush HaMizrahi says that Rashi says it's one clothing. Another Pirush HaMizrahi says it's, Rashi says two clothing. What does Rashi sound like? One or two?
Two.
Two, sounds like two. Right. Chaluk and then Ketonet. Seems like it's two. So the first one, the Mizrahi seems unusual. Except the Mizrahi says, why would they take off his chaluk? Moreover, somebody pointed out, if they took off his chaluk, and the chaluk is the undergarment or the over one? The ketonet is the under or the over? Sounds like the ketonet to me should be...
It should be the over.
The over one, because it's like the colored one, that's the one you'd wear. This is very strange. Doesn't it seem very strange?
Yeah.
If you were going to like rip off the chaluk. So if you have kliyakar on the second side says, Pirush Rashi kutanto ze chaluk. V'lama ze hifshitu kutanto. Why would they strip off his ketonet? V'ulai, Yosef belechto el echa. When Yosef went to his brothers, haya mityare, he was afraid. Pen yigzelu echa mimenu ketonet hapasim. He knew they couldn't stand him, and he knew that they would want to take it from him. Therefore, al ken asama asen na'arut, he did a young youthy thing. V'halach v'tavar v'chiber ketonet hapasim el stam chaluko. He sewed the ketonet to his undergarment so that kiyamar mistama lo yitziguhu arum. Because he figured they're not going to leave me naked. So even if they want to take off my coat, when they go to rip off my coat, they won't be able to because it's sewed to my underpants. That's what he said. That's what he did.
How old is he?
You know what I'm saying? No, he's like, he didn't. 17, okay?
But it's like, it's not a 17-year-old thought.
Ach, what?
It's not a 17-year-old thought. That's more like a 5-year-old.
No, stop. I'm not going there. And like, he sewed his overgarment, his undergarment, because he said they won't leave me naked even if they take it. Al Kain, Hefshitu Gam Hemat Chuluko. They didn't care. Okay? V'yesh Omrim. Listen to what he says. Some say. So you, but it's still out of order. Because it should Vayyafshitu et Kutanto et Ketonet HaPasim Asher Alav. So it's out of order. Yesh Omrim, some say. She Yosef Hichlif Kutanto. V'hilbish kutonet hapasim al gufo mamash. V'stam chaluko hilbish lemala.
He was like hiding it.
Right, he says to hide it, right, to hide it. But maybe like his father gave it to him, he wore it all the time. And he wore clothes over that piece of clothing. So they first had to take off his chaluk, his kutanto, and then they could only get to the kutonet hapasim. You know what I'm saying? This is a very... Either way you put it, no matter what, you just see how connected Yosef is wearing this piece of clothing. And in a sense, if you take the Kliyakar as its word, how he's lording it over them. He knows they hate it. He sews it to his undershirt in order to make sure that they don't take it, which only shows you how much he realizes they can't stand that piece of clothing, which only shows you
how arrogant he is
to wear it anyway.
And why did he get it?
Well, He was the best.
Favorite.
He was the best.
But isn't he being too annoyed to put it under his clothing? Which is like, he has this special thing and he doesn't want to be regardless.
If you were Tzanua about a special piece of clothing your parents gave you, what would you do with it?
I'd wear it in a way to know what.
Would you? Yeah. You wouldn't keep it in your closet and cherish it? And especially, what if you knew people were jealous about it?
Just say someone gave me a 10-carat diamond and thought it was special. It's
like, if somebody gave you a 10-carat diamond from grandmother, you just said exactly that. You wouldn't wear it. You would not wear it. You would not wear it. You would keep it. You would treasure it. You would cherish it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not appropriate to wear around here a 10-carat diamond. This is not appropriate. It's not appropriate. I don't know if the women are jealous or not, but it's not. Right?
I don't know.
Could you imagine somebody wearing like some like silk, you know, mink stole, like walking around Yabby Dabby? I'm like, what are you? You know what I'm saying? Like, could you imagine? It'd be so weird.
Eccentric.
What?
Eccentric.
It'd be weird. It'd be just strange. Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And here he is. He got this.
I offended half.
No, they don't wear mink. Detroit.
No, that's.
For one thing, if you know about Detroit, for one thing, it was one thing we loved about Detroit. It was not pretentious at all. Really, it was Midwest. It was not like that at all. People do not. They're not looking. They don't care what you wear. They're just happy you came to shul. I really mean that. They just didn't care. And that's something that's unique about it's Eretz Yisrael as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care. Or, you know, which is the way it should be. Okay. What's interesting is, one second, let's read a little bit on. Right? So then they threw him into the boar. Let's skip a little bit. So they say, let's sell him. And then they sell him. And now let's skip to Chaf Tet. Vayasha Reuven el Habor, Bine Ein Yosef Habor, Vayikra et Bigadav. Okay, Reuven came back and he rend his clothing. Okay, this is a second example of clothing. We're going to see this example. Why did he tear his clothing?
Reuven.
Who told Reuven to tear his clothing?
Well, he assumed whose clothing is he tearing?
Tear his own clothing. Why? Who told?
He told his father.
He didn't tell him nothing yet. Nobody told anybody yet. Reuven is in mourning. It's an instinctive, natural reaction to tear your clothing as a sign of mourning and anguish. Nowadays, we tear kriya. What's interesting is, we don't really tear kriya, because we wait for the rabbi to come and like do the thing and whatever. That's not real kriya. We tear kriya because that's what halacha tells us. True kriya is when a person innately tears his clothing out of a sense of anguish and despair. That's what kriya is supposed to be. Kriya is supposed to be an articulation of an inner emotion. It's not supposed to be the fulfillment of a ritual afterwards. But everybody know, you know what I'm saying? You're supposed to, you know, when you hear something, when you're so anguished, when you're so upset about something as to be, you know, as to be distraught and despairing, you tear your clothing. What does that mean? What is that a symbol of? Why? Why is when you
your heart is breaking?
How is this very good? How is a sign of tearing of clothing representative of that?
Because you're not allowed to hurt yourself, so you hurt what's on you. Like you're so upset, that's why in halacha we're not allowed to hurt ourselves.
Correct.
Or like cut ourselves.
Correct.
Because you're upset.
Very good.
So like the next closest thing that you can do is
tear. Your very good. So the clothing, but then what are you saying? That the clothing is the representation of the self. The clothing is the self, and the kriyab, the beged, I mean. Think about how upset you'd have to really be to innately take your clothing and just rip it and tear it.
When you don't have a whole closet.
When you don't have a whole closet full of clothing, remember also. Correct, that's what you had. And that's how you walked around. And then it became your symbol that you're different, you're changed. Like nowadays our clothing is so much different now. I don't know anybody who's ever done that. You know what I'm saying? Who was ever so upset at something as to do it.
They did it.
Yeah.
Maybe it was planned in advance.
Correct.
Was what they were going
correct.
To do.
Correct. Right. They all did it. I mean, they all taught Kriya.
It wasn't like.
Today, the Kriya is the opposite. That's what I mean. It's a ritual that we do as a sign to fulfill a sign of a mourning in order to express mourning, as opposed to it's not the instantaneous outpouring of emotion, as it were. Right, that's real Kriya, what it's supposed to be.
It's the source.
What?
This is the source? Roommate?
Not this one. Yaakov does the same thing. But yes, these are the sources. This is the original source for why we tear Kriya. But what's interesting is that it's a representation. The clothing here, Kriya, is the manifestation of the clothing as a representation of the self. It's self-mutilation in a permissible way. You know, you can't mutilate yourself. So this is the next best thing. It's a very deep idea. Okay? Pasuk Lamed. Vayashav elecha vayomar. He doesn't know what happened. Hayelad einenu v'ani ana ibar. I'm dead. What am I going to do? I'm going to tell dad. Vayichu ektonet Yosef. Vayishchatu si'ir izim. Vayitbalu et hakutonet badam. They took the ktonet of Yosef. They slaughtered a goat. And they dipped it in blood. There's a very interesting Rashi on hakutonet. What does Rashi say? Hakutonet? Rashi says, see the Rashi on Amud Aleph? Hakutonet? Zeshma. That's the name. Meaning what? You see the Rashi? You see what I'm saying? What is Rashi saying?
It's the noun. And
the hakutonet. It's Rashi saying, right. Well, no, it's ktonet hapasim, ktonet pasim. That's what Rashi says. Ukshi dvuka leteva cheret. When the ktonet is connected to another word, kagon ktonet Yosef, ktonet pasim, then it's the clothing of, the tunic of. But here it's the tunic. What does that tell you? It's interesting, Rashi. They took the tunic.
Is that talking about the mitzvah?
He's saying kutonet. Hakutonet. Right, hakutonet. Yeah?
It was no longer Yosef's.
It became a thing. You know what I'm saying? The kutonet. What are we going to do with the tunic? What are we going to do with it? So they dipped it in blood, and then, interestingly, vayishalchu ektonet hapasim, vayaviu el avihem, vayamu zot matzanu. Hakerna haktonet habincha hi imla. What's wrong with this pasuk? What's wrong with the pasuk? Yeah, what do you think? Correct. What's going on? You understand? Vayishalchu ektonet hapasim. They sent it. So there's two ways to interpret it. Some say that they sent it in the hands of some of the brothers. If you look at the Unklus, okay, the Targum, sorry, Targum Yonatan ben Uziel, he says, Ushidaru biyad b'nei bilha, b'nei zilpa, b'nei bilha, yat pargod. They sent it, who did they send it with? Up there at the top. The Yonatan ben Uziel is on the top of the other side. There, that one, on the top. In the hands of b'nei bilha, b'nei zilpa. Why did they send it in the hands of the b'nei bilha, b'nei zilpa? Yeah, they couldn't, because the Zilpa and the Bilhah and Zilpa, they were the innocent children. They weren't the ones that really hated Yosef. That's like the most cowardice thing you could do. Like, who can we send it with? Who can we send it with? You know, like, okay. And then Vayaviu, and they brought it, the brothers, in the name of. There's another interpretation of Vayishalchu. It's interesting. Okay. Vayishalchu. One second. Vayishalchu. Someone says, maybe Kliyakar, maybe Sephorno, I don't really see. Vayishalchu can mean, says the Sephorno, yes. Hevi'uha eviruha b'shelach. What it really means is they mutilated it. Why? Because they couldn't just dip it in blood, because if Yosef was really eaten by a wild animal, one would surmise something would happen to the coat. But what I find so interesting is, remember, the coat is a representation of the person. In the Kriya, the coat, the clothing becomes the person. What do they do to Yosef? What do they do, sorry, to his coat?
Tear it to shreds.
They tear it to shreds and they bloody it. Ke'ilu, like they couldn't bring themselves to do that to Yosef. But they did it to the next best thing, to hakutonet. Right? It's almost like they're taking out their anger and their aggression and their passion on the thing that represented Yosef, on hakutonet.
But if this was something that was like an heirloom, and the divinity, like represented a certain divinity of Gan Eden.
I threw that midrash out. Just leave it. I don't want to. You know what I'm saying?
Like they have like so little respect.
Yeah, I don't know. Leave that midrash alone. Leave the midrash alone. You know what I'm saying? The midrash represents an idea. I wouldn't take it literally. The midrash is there to communicate an idea. Yeah. But I just find that.
But who are they hurting? I mean, I understand like this is their anger and their frustration at their brother.
This word, the word vayafshitu, also just calls out to me. It's a violent act, lafshit. They didn't say, give us a coat. Take off the coat. They went to him and they grabbed it and they physically ripped it off his body. You know what I'm saying?
But at this point, like, he's gone and they have the coat and they're
the cover up.
I mean, right, but I'm saying, like, that anger that they're doing in the process of tearing it up, is it directed to him or is it directed to his father, who they're now returning the coat to?
You analyze him. Any therapists here? Anyone? You know, I don't know. You know, it's just interesting. You know what I'm saying? The coat that they hate ends up ripped and torn and bloodied. You know, and Yosef ends up sold down to Egypt. Clothing number one. Next, okay, and they brought, once again, they brought it to him. Lamidalid. Sorry, Lamigimel. Vayakira. He recognized him. Kitonet bini. Chaya ra'a achalat v'tarov tarap Yosef. Yosef got ripped up. Vayikra Yaakov sim lo tav. Reuven, it says, I don't know what to do with this. Reuven tore bigadav. Yaakov tore simlo tav. What is a simla? Simla is a cloak. Okay? So Yaakov, and the Midrash says on this, Mikan shekori'im al hakrovim. From this we learn that we tear kriya for our relatives. Okay, I don't know why we don't learn it from Reuven, because Reuven also did the same thing.
Maybe he did.
Reuven knew he wasn't dead, though.
No, he didn't. Remember, Reuven came back to the well, and Yosef is gone. So he had yet when it was an innate, and yet he had no idea what happened to him. Maybe he probably thought his brothers killed him. I think he thought his brothers killed him at that point until he found out. No, we sold him. He's fine. Oh, better. Thank you. Okay. Yes, you want to say something?
No, maybe it was out of guilt and despair, not only out of mourning. Meaning,
yeah, that's not enough.
It's pure mourning. Okay. And Reuven's is mixed with a lot of other stuff.
Very good. Okay. Let's go on to another example. The next example of clothing. And I just, it's an interesting theme that appears a few times. Where does the next piece of clothing come up? So it's interesting. It comes up in the story of Yehuda and Tamar. Okay? Yehuda and Tamar, do I need to repeat the story? Do we all know the story? We all know the story. You're looking like you guys know the story. Okay. It was interesting, fascinating. I deal with I do some parsha writing, so it happened to be that I wrote a piece about a story in Yehuda and Tamar, and one of the people who edits it is not a religious Jew, and so she just had no familiarity with the story of Yehuda and Tamar. And I say, yeah, they don't teach that story in Hebrew school, you know. And she's like, she was shocked. She's like, this is in the Bible? I can't believe it. You know? Somebody should write a book. There is a book. Anyway, someone should read the book. Let's turn to Lamed Chet Yud Bet. Okay, so Tamar marries Er Onan. Er Onan die.
It's just one other piece of clothing, the sack.
Oh, I'm sorry.
In that passage.
He covers himself with the sack. Vayasem sack b'matnav. Right? And he wore it the rest of his days. Okay, again, symbol of mourning. Very good, very good. Good point. Vayibu hayamim, 1 second. So, and he sends Tamar away. Tamar is supposed to marry the third son, Shelah. Because by right, by law, right, if the woman is left childless, so you marry the other child. But of course, Yehuda says, there's no way I'm letting my only other child marry this black widow. She's trouble. Okay? He says, instead of saying no or divorcing her, doing chalitza, he sends her away and says, don't call me, I'll call you. Right, which is not a good idea. Vayirbu yamim batamat batshua eshet Yehuda vayinacham Yehuda. So it's a long time. His wife dies, he's consoled. Vayal al gozazet zonohu v'chira ve'eo adulad adulamit timnata. So there I are, we're going to take on a business trip to Timna. Vayugab detamar leimor hinei chamich ola timnata la goz zono. Hey, your father-in-law's coming. You're Dalit. Batasar bigde al minuta me aleha. She removes her clothing of mourning from upon her. Vatikas bat saif vatit alaf. Right, these are very interesting words. Vatikas, and she covers herself. Bit saif. What is a saif? A veil, as it says. A scarf. Okay. Vatit alaf. What does lehit alef mean usually?
Faint.
He fainted. Where do we find the term lehit alef in Tanakh? I'll be impressed if you know this. Lehit alaf. It's a man. A man fainted.
When
No, he doesn't faint. He doesn't faint then. No, Vayitalaf? No, I'm not aware. The only other one that I'm aware of, it was an unfair question, Yonah, when the Kikayon gives up its shade, and Yonah is left by himself, it's Vayit Alaf. Okay? Look at Rashi on Vayit Alaf. Kista Paneha Shelo Yakirba. This is a very strange word. Pretty much all of the Mefarshim say Lehit Alef means...
Not to faint.
To cover your face. Okay? Except, of course, some of the Pashtanim, let me see if I can find it, say, one second, Vatit Alaf. I did look this up. What pasuk am I on?
Yudale,
thank you. Okay. Ibn Ezra says, Shehistira Paneha. She covered her face. She hid her face. V'chein Vayit Alaf and Yonah. He steer panah bibigadav. He says, it doesn't mean he fainted over there. It means he covered his face in his clothing. It was so hot, he covered his face. He hid in the shade. Okay?
This is the makor for the Taliban ladies. For the burqa
very
ladies.
Good. Very good. Yeah, y'all familiar with this phenomenon of these burqa ladies who cover their face as well?
What?
It's not from this, because if it was from this, they wouldn't do it.
What?
Hold on. Well, what's the next pasuk? There's another Rashi somewhere else in Shirashim. It says, Lashon kishut v'tikun. V'targum v'it knat. Li'it l'taken et atzma. Vatit alaf means she made herself up. She shaped, she changed herself. Okay? She put on this veil and then she became this exotic woman.
So it could be like makeup.
What?
It could be like makeup.
Also. Like exotic makeup. Okay, what's that?
Where did the explanation of fainting come in?
I have no idea. Modernly means fainting. Modern day means fainting. And to cover your face. Okay? It is very interesting to note. What?
If Yonah Tanaka could have meant fainting.
It could mean covering your, you know. But the idea of covering your face is very, very, it's a very deep idea. You know, what does it mean to cover your face? To hide your face. Kisui panin. There's a whole shir I could give on this. I actually gave a shir on it. When you wear a mask, though, what is the face? When you cover your face, what are you covering, really? Your essence. The Chazal tell us, and very deeply, that the panim is the pnim. Right? And someone who knows how to read faces can read the essence of a person, can read your inner self as well. That if you know, like that, your face reveals everything about you. There's actually there's a Malcolm Gladwell book about this. He wrote an article about that. That people who know, I think it's Blake, okay. He says there are people who are experts. They can watch video of testimony, and tell if you're lying or not.
Yeah.
What? Really?
I did not. We have a relationship with this woman.
Apropos of our discussion,
all,
right?
But all the experts said he's lying, and then later it came out that he was lying.
Wow.
Well, it wasn't a shock that he was lying, even though the mayor.
Based on his facial, there's a whole thing about how he twitched here and whatever.
It's fascinating that this word vatit alaf seems almost unique. Vatit alaf. I get a sense. I'm just making this up in a Hirschian kind of way. It's reflexive, lihit pael, almost like vatit chalaf. She changed herself. Atit alaf. Right? That she altered herself in a fundamental way. And that she covered herself. And how did she do it? Batachash bat saif. Okay? Covering herself with this veil. Batesha bepetach einayim, asher al derech nimnata. And she sat at the crossroads. Ki ra'ataki galdal she'elav hilo ninan lo l'isha. Vayir'eha Yehuda vayachsheveha lezona. You'd have thought, saw her, and he thought she was a hooker. Why? Kiki stapaneha. Now, if I was a Taliban lady, I don't know what to do with this pasuk. Except, right? Meaning, that she covered her, like, why did he think she was a prostitute?
It's because, actually closer than...
Says Rashi takes it upside down. The pshat is, the prostitutes in those times covered their faces. Why would you cover your face if you were a prostitute?
You don't want anybody to know who you were.
Correct. So then you could show your face later on. You can't walk around in public if you're a prostitute, right? The Ramban says, interestingly, he says in his pshat, he says, yeah, look at Rashi for a second. It's very interesting. Rashi says, Kiki stapaneha, says Rashi. What? One second. Right? Velo yachol rotar lahakira. He couldn't recognize her. That's the pshat is, he thought she was a prostitute because he didn't recognize her. He didn't know what she was. Midrash avoteinu, kiki stapana. What's that? How could it be that he thought she was a prostitute? He says, kishahaita bebeit chamia, haitat snu'a. Lefikach lo chashada. That's the source for the Taliban ladies. Taliban ladies said, oh, why did he not recognize her and think she was a prostitute? He didn't know what she looked like. She was so tsanua that even in his own home, she covered her face. So therefore, when he saw her on the street, he didn't know who she was. Okay, that's what the Taliban ladies do. Right, exactly. So he says later on, he thought she was a prostitute later on, but it is very interesting. The Ramban says no. Hakadeshot yoshvot al haderech, right, the prostitutes that were on the road. They're not particular about who they sleep with. So whoever the client is, could be their relatives. So they don't want the person to know who they are. So they're going out to the crossroads. They're going out to the road on the way. And then, you know, where would you hire the prostitute? In the forest, on the road. So then when she comes back into the city, she just takes off her ta'if, and she pretends like she's the regular person. So in a very interesting way, these normal women would go, they would cover themselves, become someone totally different. Okay? And then when they would come back, that's when they would return to themselves. Okay, so she covered herself to become something different than she was. And then, and because of that, he didn't recognize her because ki chista paneha. A very, very fascinating interpretation on the use of clothing. That is, sometimes you could use a piece of clothing not to enhance who you are, but to actually change who you are. To become a different person in a way. Ad kedekach, that your own father-in-law doesn't recognize you. You know, and that she has to send the ring and the signet, etc., etc. Okay, and she covers herself with this scarf. And then when she comes back to her home, what does she do, obviously? She comes back to her home, blah, blah, blah. She takes off the tzi'if, and then everybody knows, oh, it's Tamar. So when Tamar becomes pregnant, it's not Tamar. What did, look, Tamar did that. No, Tamar didn't do it. The prostitute did it. Now we have to figure out, we have to merge between the two different personalities. Who is this person? Who's responsible? And obviously it's Yehuda. So this is a very interesting, another interesting idea of the use of clothing in the story to mask who the person is, to change who the person is, as opposed to who she was beforehand. Example number three, obviously, what's the third most, fourth example? What's the fourth example of clothing in our story? Big day, Yosef, right? The clothing of Yosef. Okay, we're going to see now. Let's skip to Perek Lamitet. The begadim that they tore, the rending of the garments, the mourning. So the first one was Yosef's coat. The second actually is Reuven tearing his garment. The third is Yaakov tearing his garment, putting on a sack. The fourth would be Tamar. This would actually be the fifth. When you see things like this, it's like, it really calls out to you. This theme comes up a lot. I'm not sure I have any chidushim to say, but it's just a very interesting thing to study and to analyze and to try to come to terms with. Okay? Perek Lamitet, Pasuk Yud, as we all know. What? No, let's start at Zion. Perek Lamitet, Pasuk Zion. Okay? Yosef, he's sold down to Egypt. He ends up in Beit Potiphar. He's extremely successful, as we know. And who takes a liking to him? The wife. Vayihi achar dvarim ha'ele v'tisa eshet adonav et eneha el Yosef v'toma shichva imi. She says, sleep with me. Vayima'en. He did not want to. Vayomer eshet adonav hen adoni lo yada iti ma babayit v'chol asher yesh lo natan biyadi. My master, he doesn't know other than me, what's in the house? Einenu gadol babayit hazeh mimeni. There's nobody better in this house than me. V'lo chashach mimeni meuma ki motach v'asher at ishto. Does it sound like Yosef is pushing her away? What?
Sounds like you're bragging.
It's true that I am the most important person in the household, and it's true that nothing has been held back from me other than you. That's true. Doesn't it sound like? You know what I'm saying? Would you say that? If, like, you know, you're having this long discussion about it. Like, you know, she propositions him. What should he say?
Nothing.
No. Are you nuts? Lady, forget it. If you have to give reasons, what does that tell you?
And
it's not me saying this, because I'll
she's
say this.
She's not moral.
What?
So that's not a reason for her.
Right. You know, so now we're going to... Let's discuss this. You know what I'm saying? You have an idea, a proposition for me, and I'm going to discuss it with you and explain to you all the reasons why it shouldn't happen. You know? So he says, "Einenu gadol b'bayit adam yimeni." So point number one, right? I am the most important person in this household. "V'lo chashach miyoni ma'uma ki'im otach basher at ishto." And he's not held anything back from me other than you, his wife. Really? That's what you would say? "V'ech eseh ha'ra'a gdola hazot v'chatati l'elohim." On the other hand, I can't do it. "Chatati l'elohim." Right? It's unclear, by the way, if Yosef means chatati l'elohim to God, or it's just an immoral act. That's what it sounds, many mepharshim say, that it's not an immoral act. I can't do it. Okay? "V'ehi kedabra al Yosef yom yom." What are they talking about every day?
This.
Yeah. Exactly right. Meaning, understand, it's not so clear, and I really believe this, it's not so clear that he didn't want it. It's clear from Chazal that he did want it. You know what I'm saying? That he himself was, well, and he, but he came to believe his own press. He's important. I am who I am, okay? But he wouldn't listen, he wouldn't go through with it. Fascinating. Fascinating pasuk. And it was on that day. What day? That day. Rashi says, "V'kalomar v'ayi kashir ha'igia yom menucha, yom yuchad, yom tzchok, yom HLM." It was their day of, like, religious whatever. "Shalku ulam lebeit avodah zara." They all went to Amra, "Ein lo li yom hagun li Yosef, li zahazekek li Yosef ha'yom hazeh." Amar lehem chole ani, she said, "I'm sick. Ve'eini yachol alecha." Ah, she made it up. "I'm not feeling well that day. Okay, you all go. I'll stay home." Okay, and it says, one second. "Vayavo habayta lasot melachto." Yosef came to the house to do his work. Rashi. Rabu Shmuel. Lasot melachto. Chad amar melachto mamash. Some say, yes, he really did have to fix the sink. Chad amar lasot tzrachav imo. And some say, no, lasot tzrachav imo. He decided, finally, came the time. Ella, shinir eid lo dmut diyukno shel avi. Very famous Gemara, famous Midrash. He saw the image of his father's face at the last minute, and he couldn't go through with it. I must have pshat. Where did he see his father's face? Dmut diyukno shel avi. I must have pshat.
I don't think when he looked at her.
No. So some say he just visaged his father's face. Some say in the mirror. He looked like his father. And he saw his father's face in the mirror, and he said, "Oh my God, I can't do this." Okay. Vatitpesehu bibigdo lemoa shichva imi. She grabbed him by the clothing. So you could interpret this in one, of course, two ways. She accosted him and grabbed him by the clothing. Or, more difficult to say, possibly more likely as well, they were engaged in some kind of embrace. Okay? Vayazov bigdo biyada. Meaning, her clothing was already in his hands. Vayanas vayetze hachutza. Right? And he ran out. Okay? And instead of, and it's interesting to say, vayazov bigdo biyada. What does that mean, vayazov? He left it. What language don't we see here? Right. She didn't. We don't have hafshata. Nobody stripped him. Nobody pulled his clothing off of him. She grabbed him by his clothing. And instead of pulling his clothing away, what does he do? He pulls out of his clothing. It's a very interesting, intimate moment. Okay? And then, vayazo bigdo biyada, right? At that moment, he left the clothing in her hands. And what does he do? He runs away. Vayanas. He flees. He flees at the right moment. I mean, he makes the right decision. So, it's interesting. The Ramban says, okay, he says, Hisir oto me alav, okay? Lichvod gvirto, because of the honor of his gveret, of his maiden, lo ratza lo tzio mi yada bekocho agadol. He didn't want to grab it from her. The Hebir otak, hineach bigdo, pachta, pendigalea lelibnei abayit. So she freaked out because she didn't know what's going to happen when they find her with his clothing. So therefore, she's screaming, ah, look what he did, look what he did, look what he did. Because otherwise, what are you doing with this? Why are you holding on to this? But what's interesting is, he didn't grab it away from her, but rather he ran away. And everything that happened, happened because of it. How am I time-wise? Am I out of time? Can I just have one?
Yeah.
I'm out of time. Okay.
Maybe he felt he deserved it.
So interesting. By the way, what should have happened to Yosef? In by all rights, what should happen to Yosef? What should happen to him? What?
That
should be executed right away. No, he's an Eved. He's nothing. So the fact that he's not is almost shocking. Right, it's a symbol of Yad Hashem. What's interesting to me most about each of these instances of clothing isn't the notion of the clothing itself, but each of these instances is an example of the removal of clothing. Right? Yosef had his clothes, and he took it off. Right? Yes, Tamar put on the clothes, but she also took it off. Right? Yaakov rent his garments, he took off his clothing. Right? And Yosef, of course, the wife of Potiphar, pulled it away. She held on to it. And what's interesting to me is, what are we when we take the things that represent us and we take them away from us? What was Yosef when they took away his ketonet? When they mutilated it, they violated it, and they took it away. What was Yosef? What was he left? He became an Eved. They sold him into nothingness. I mean, somehow, the clothing had become the person. Tamar used clothing to mask herself, to become somebody different than herself. What is Yosef? When he takes off the clothing, somehow it seems that he is the Eved, he is the Mishneh, the Potiphar, when he's wearing his clothing. And as soon as it's not on him, Vayanas v'yetzei achutzah. He's Yenevit again. He's Yosef again. But somehow we use clothing in order to become something different than ourselves. And then when we take off those clothes, we become something different. We become something lower. We become something less. And I think that's a theme. It's a side theme. It's not the main theme of the whole story. But it's an interesting theme. To what degree do we use clothes to become something different than we are? And in reality, we just want to be the person that, you know, like changes into our pajamas at night. You know what I'm saying? And that's who we really think that we are. We're not that other person. You know, I it's so interesting. Like when I was a rabbi, I had weekday clothing. I had Shabbos clothing. You know, even today we have special Shabbos clothing. And that's important to become something different. You know what I mean? And today I'm not wearing the clothes that I would wear to go to work because I wear different clothing for those things. And very often when I come home, I want to change. I just want to change. Because I want to be a different person at home. I want to be more relaxed and more different. And it's an interesting illustration in the Tanakh, in the Chumash, throughout this whole story of how we use clothing to become something different than we are. And I think that, interestingly enough, it's a tale of caution. That it shouldn't be true. But yes, clothing are important. Yes, clothing identify and represent us. But they shouldn't make us different than we are, because in each case, the ketonet got Yosef in trouble. The tzi'if was not used for good purposes. The beged of Yosef, if it's not who you are, then it shouldn't be, then don't wear it. You know what I'm saying? You have to be who you have to use the clothing in order to enhance yourself, as opposed to covering yourself up and trying to become something different than you're supposed to be. Yeah, something different. We'll stop with the questions and we'll stop. Something outside,
body,
right, a symbol of sinfulness.
Yeah, the body becoming them.
Agreed.
You know, and they had to cover it with clothing.
Agreed. Nick, you want to say something? Yeah.
I think that, afuch as well, that clothing brings you closer to who you should be also. It's not necessarily negative.
Correct. I agree with you. I agree with you. These are tales of caution.
You know, it's interesting to remind you who you are. So it's not to remove you from who you actually are, but in the right way, it's to remind you of who you should be.
Interesting, but it's always a level of, like Marina always pointed out to me, she's not here, she would have said it today, beged is bigud. What is lebaged?
Betrayal.
Betrayal. A Beged is a betrayal. It's a betrayal of your inner self to some degree. And you tear kriya, and you remove that outer layer, your true self comes out, in a sense. Isn't it very interesting? It's just things to ponder and think about when we get dressed in the morning. Okay, we'll stop here.